Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an ergat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
Matt and I have been talking about privacy and the importance of using a VPN for 7 years now, literally 7 years, I believe, at least once every episode or two. It's like, hey, make sure you're running a VPN. I think it's especially important today where you have governments in the UK, other parts of Europe, all across the world, really trying to introduce digital ID and curbing speech with hate speech laws. Make sure you're protecting your privacy and shielding yourself from government surveillance as you're perusing the web. Our VPN of choice here at RHR is Obscura, is built by a Bitcoiner for Bitcoiners. Carl Dong did some very critical work for Bitcoin back in the day, but he decided to shift his focus to bring privacy to everybody with Obscura. It is a VPN that cannot log, literally by the way it's designed. A lot of VPNs will hand wave, say, we're not logging. You can't trust them. You want the VPN that cannot log. That is Obscura. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR for 25% off when you sign up any of their deals. Make sure you're using it, particularly if you're in one of these countries where the governments are becoming extremely censorious and targeting citizens that exhibit wrong think. You should be running a VPN. That VPN should be Obscura. Obscura.net. Code RHR. 25% off. This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR. Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. And you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It has made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like 7 a day. I drink a few a day, maybe 7 a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's DrinkSote.com. Use the code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
I'm tired.
No dooming in the chat. No,
it's
dooming.
Not dooming. It's not dooming. It's just I'm fucking tired.
I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to everybody out there. I know everybody's a little scared right now. Price of Bitcoin crash. Another 5% dip.
I don't know what.
Yeah, this is your fault, by the way.
Why is this my fault?
Taking victory laps 2 weeks ago. I knew it was.
I know. It's all the Luke. It's Luke Roman's fault. It's my fault for getting triggered at Luke, and now it's. Now we all live in Luke's world, so it is what it is. I'll take some responsibility for that.
Thank you. That's all I asked for.
I will say, like, it's not a 5% dip because the reason it hurts so much is that it's the gold ratio, right? So we're like near the last low priced in gold. And I think that's why it hurts more. I also think people were like way over leveraged on MicroStrategy and Metaplanet and whatnot. And those are down a fuck ton. So I think that adds to it. But I will say, guys, at least the ride or dies that have been with us for the last 8 years or so. I mean, Mandible's on Bitcoin Standard. Like, did you think a monetary reset was just going to be like just us pumping forever and everything just not being chaotic and there not being pain? Like, this is what fucking happens in the hyperinflationary, you know, death of a money environment. And unfortunately, it's probably just barely getting started. We're like chapter one. So batten down the hatches. Don't get shaken out. Those of us who don't will be rewarded. Yeah, have fun with it too. We try and have fun. I think we have a good time.
I don't think we've ever had a bad time. I think we're doing all right here. Hope all of you are doing all right. Bitcoin isn't your life. Touch grass if you're a little stressed right now.
Dude, the grass is getting really expensive in SATS terms, like to maintain shit.
Mm-hmm.
People, grass doesn't maintain itself.
Yeah, it's time to get back in the fiat mines, okay? Put that McDonald's hat on, put the uniform on, get back to the fiat mines, humble yourself. Good buying opportunities here.
You know, my son likes, when I cut our grass, I put my son on top of the lawnmower. Bitcoin hasn't hit the price yet where I could justify a ride on lawnmower. So I have a push lawnmower, but he gets to ride on it. So he sits on it. And whenever he was in a bad mood this year, I would just mow the lawn because he just loved it so much, until my wife was like, "You are killing our grass. You are mowing it way too often. You can't do it anymore." So we had to take a break from that.
It's I'm trying to think of
Vake is saying the Mandibles is the poor man's Atlas Shrugged. Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't disagree. I don't think it's necessarily the poor man, though. I think it's just it's an easy read. And it's doesn't leave much up to the imagination. Just kind of just lays it out there for you, particularly if you're American. So that's where the advantage is. I mean, I think it's the best one-to-one comparison is When Money Dies, but that book is
Morbid
and is dense as hell.
I mean the gold chart does look similar to the Weimar gold chart, the Weimar Mark gold chart back in the day. And I was actually on the Coffee and Mike podcast with Mike Ferris earlier today and brought up When Money Dies. Funny that you mentioned it. But yeah, like the social conditions or the social parallels that exist with the degen culture, winning it all back on one bet, a lot of people trading prediction markets, pumped up fun meme coins, even though they're down. I don't think they're as popular as they were this time last year. The social parallels are very similar, eerily similar, some would say.
Did you see that chart that Gladstein posted? Trump personally made $400 million on the Trump meme coin.
Yeah.
And then he made another $400 million on World Liberty Fi.
Yeah, was it him or his son? Like, where's the money?
We're grouping them together. It's on the same chart.
To this point, though, Logan, pull this up. We'll start with
I don't
this.
Think that really matters. If my toddler makes $400 million on an Odell meme coin, you can blame me. It wasn't my toddler.
Logan, pull it up. I think Autism Capital had a great tweet earlier today. Haters will disagree, but Trump and Melania launching their shitty Trump and Melania shitcoin and embedding themselves so deeply into crypto is the reason why Democrats won't help and actively sabotage crypto. Anything that is perceived as enriching the Trumps is thwarted. This is quote tweeting Watcher Guru, who reported that zero Democrats voted in favor of advancing the crypto market structure legislation in the Senate Ag Committee.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. Yeah, go on.
It's just a an unforced error. Like, why did you need to launch these shit coins? Why did you launch?
It's not an unforced error when you realize that they made $800 million off of it. You know, that is it was a calculated grift, an effective calculated grift. I saw another. I don't remember who posted it, but there was other commentary that I saw that was kind of similar to that, which is the combination of the Trump cash out on it and the strategic, quote unquote, strategic Bitcoin reserve or stolen Bitcoin reserve. The combination of those two and Sailor having Satoshi level stack of coin actually hurt the China bid, right? Right now, like silver and gold, a lot of it is coming from China, presumably. And you can see how wealthy Chinese would be maybe more hesitant to allocate to Bitcoin because it's seen as almost American dominated at this point. And, you know, I think, which is funny. You know, yeah, because it was China.
I mean, China for a while. China was dominating for, it was China's game to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think all these things, right? You can only take so much. Don't put like too much stock in them. I mean, when Bitcoin's going down, people have like a million excuses for why it's going down. And then when the momentum switches in the opposite direction, like all those excuses evaporate, and there'll be a China bid, and you know, Dems will support it because they can make money off of it too, and blah blah blah. Everyone forgets about quantum, like as soon as we go up 20%. But all these pieces definitely have some to do with it. But I think probably the biggest thing is, you know, we are seeing a debasement trade, period. Like, you are blind if you do not think we are seeing that. We're seeing a sovereign debt crisis. We're seeing a monetary reset. And Bitcoin front ran, like, years of, you know, suppressed prices on silver and gold and other commodities. And so I actually just pull up the first link I have in the list. This is Eric Balkanis, you know, one of our favorite ETF influencers. And because he's an ETF influencer, people are going to accuse him of cherry picking this chart, but he started it right before the ETFs were launched because that's when he discovered Bitcoin. And it's got Bitcoin there, it's got gold there, and it's got silver there. And then it's got QQQ, so top 100 non-financial stocks in NASDAQ, basically tech stocks, the best tech stocks in the world. And Bitcoin crushed all of them all the way up until this most recent point. And we're still in a great position compared to them right now. So it's like you get caught up in it, you know, maybe you open X and all of X is like, holy shit, the world is ending. Like, I can't believe gold's pumping this crazy. And it's impressive. Like, it's wild to see gold in one day move up an entire Bitcoin market cap, or in an hour fall, you know, trillions of dollars. Like, that is insane Weimar type shit. But also at the same time, like, you look at the gold chart, it's up 25% in the last month. It's like, okay, congratulations. It's like Bitcoiners need to just have some perspective here. It's always been a long game. It was always going to be chaotic. There was always going to be pain. We've had so much pain since we've gotten to Bitcoin. And most times we're in pain.
And credit to us, we've been beating this drum for 8 years. This is literally what we've told you consistently for 8 years. It's a long game. There's going to be a lot of emotions. It sucks more than it is good. The pumps last for a couple months. They're so fleeting. But stay strong out there. And to your point there, I know you're the precious metals influencer now. I think I am as well. The gold and silver guys are crushing on YouTube right now. I can tell you that for a fact, having had some of them on. But I had a very good friend of ours on the show yesterday, Matthew Mazinkius. That'll be out Saturday. Put a little sneak peek there. We went over like the power curve for Bitcoin priced in gold and silver. And in silver terms, it's literally at the zero percentile. So unless something is structurally broke, statistically speaking, it's very hard for the Bitcoin to silver ratio to go lower. It could go lower. Matthew said that, but
probably just go lower.
Okay, go lower. Okay, go lower.
probably going to go lower. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not a precious metals influencer. I have many jewelry. I have my wedding ring. My wedding ring is up $800. It's fucking wild.
This thing, I bought this in 20. I lost. This is not my original wedding band. The original fell down the drain.
I lost mine too.
But I bought a many. I think it was like a year into our marriage. So this is like 2018 buy. I think gold was at like maybe 1200.
No, the cool part about Mene is they have price charts for the jewelry you buy your wife, which is awesome. So like, it's basically just my wife's jewelry is my quote unquote like gold portfolio, and then I have like my two Madex chains, and then I have my wedding ring, and then I have thousands of rounds of ammunition. That is basically. But I guess to that point, right? Most influencers don't actually have much of the bags that they shill, so maybe it does fit. Maybe that does make sense.
Yeah.
I'm like the proverbial Bitcoin influencer that has like 10 million sats and is on Coinbase. Not even self-custody.
Hey. People are stacking at their own pace. Let's not make fun of them. Before we get to...
I'm just making fun of the influencers. You got to put the mask on first, influencers. Like, have you ever been on an airplane? You put the mask on first before you start sending out the engagement tweets.
Yeah. Guys, if you let's go to Clark's dashboard. If it doesn't have it on Clark's dashboard, but I'm on BitBo looking at it. If you put it on the 1 hour chart, we're up right now. We're up like half last hour. We're currently sitting at 84,020 cuck bucks. One cuck buck's gonna get you 1,190 sats. We're at a $1.68 trillion market cap, lowest we've seen in quite some time. We are at block height 930,260. Nice even block height there. We are 1,164 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, estimated to be on February 7th, 2026. So 9 days from now, a week from Sunday, as of right now, looking like a negative 15.9% difficulty adjustment. Blocks been coming in at 11 minutes and 53 seconds. On average, what's Clark's teeny weenie mempool looking like? 4,171 transactions, even though blocks are coming in slow, mempools are not filling up, which is an interesting signal.
He's not tracking sub one sat per byte. What is mempool spaces mempool?
Yeah, go to mempool.space, Logan. We're looking at 39,389.
Yeah, off by 35,000 transactions, he's not saying.
Where is this guy? What's that guy's name? Is like the quantum futter who runs a fund, Charles something.
Nick Carter?
No, Charles, not Nick, Charles something. Somebody in the chat. He had like some crazy idiotic tweet today, like trying to pull up, go back to mempool.space and go to the mining. Mining chart.
Oh, he said like a death spiral tweet, right?
Yeah, he's like, ah, oh,
like bro, have you not watched the news?
Yeah, let me check my likes. I know I liked one of the responses to it, but hash rate's down considerably. We warned you freaks last week before the winter storm hit the East Coast that this
the
was
chat is saying he's Charles Edwards.
Charles Edwards, there we go. We'll pull up his tweet. Hash rate's down considerably, as we just mentioned. It's looking like a negative 15.86% difficulty adjustment. Something like 20% of network hash rate has come offline over the last week. And as we warned you all last week when we last met, before the winter storm rolled across the southwest all the way through the northeast, miners are participating in demand response programs. And when it gets cold in Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, those miners are going to shut off. And that is exactly what happened. But some people are using the temporary reduction in hash rate. And I can confirm I'm involved with some mining operations that have been asked to turn off so that there's enough electricity supply for residential consumers on the grid. But Charles Edwards took to Twitter this morning and said, "No one is talking about Bitcoin's hash rate collapsing 40% from all-time high. The biggest miner capitulation since 2021. Yikes.
energy value falling in turn very certainly means some big miners are pivoting out of crypto. There may be some big miners pivoting out of crypto, but I think...
I mean, wait, not to just... It's only Bitcoin. It's like the only proof of... I guess technically Monero is still proof of work, but they, you know, have their ASIC-resistant botnet mining. Like, that's... There's no industrial mining for it. The only chain that has industrial mining is Bitcoin.
Yeah. And so I see Spiritual Evolution 14 in the YouTube chat. Great name. Great name. All for spiritual evolutions. Doesn't Iran and Bitcoin hash rate have to contribute to this? Yes. I don't know what's going on in Venezuela, but Iran turned the internet off, so that might be constricting.
Probably hurting the mining operations there.
Yeah, but more importantly, I think people forget there was another Chinese mining man, Galaxy Blockspace Media, and Chinese miners confirmed in one of the provinces in China. It's well known in the industry, even though there was a Chinese mining ban, quote unquote ban in 2021, there was anywhere between 15-20% of hash rate that returned to China between now and then. And about a month ago, one of the provinces reinstated the ban, and there was about 10% of network hash rate in that province at the time. So, like, that can be contributing. Obviously, we got demand response, we got stuff popping off in Iran. Venezuela, unsure how much hash rate was there and if the mining operations were affected by the U.S. U.S. extraction of Maduro earlier this month. But I think Charles Edwards is trying to FUD and basically say that quantum is the reason why hash rate is down. Quantum fears. But
it doesn't even make sense.
No.
Even if that was the case.
There's many more reliable factors that are explaining this decrease in hash rate.
Well, like, can we just walk through it? Let's first of all pretend there wasn't a historic winter storm that went through Southern America. You're concerned about quantum and you own a shit ton of fucking ASICs and you have power agreements and you own warehouses and shit. And so what, you just turn it off and just lose even more money? Or you sell the ASICs maybe to someone else who runs them at a lower, you try and salvage some cost there. Like, you wouldn't just, even in that situation, you wouldn't just shut off your miners.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Retarded.
No. Yeah. But there's people falling for it.
Yeah. Well,
let's be back up. What was the engagement on that tweet? What did it get?
Dude, the rage algo, man. You get the most on the rage stuff.
I don't have it up and I'm squinting. 1,100 likes, 141 retweets, 265,000 views.
There you go.
Ooh, I almost just retweeted it.
Well, you contributed to the algo by just looking at it, right? Well, as soon as you look at it, it gives it a boost.
Yeah.
But the retweets are definitely. So, by the way, we have the freaks are strong today in the Ride or Die chat on Noster. Easiest way to access it is by downloading Primal in your favorite app store and following RHR there. But Soap Miner Zap, 21,000 sats. It's down because people want to pay more sats for soap. Don't worry, it will get cheaper. A low tide preference is essential. Go to soapminer.com, use code RHR. Florida Justin, Ride or Die Freak, 22,122 sats. Palindrome boost. Vibes are high for freaks here for the volatility. And then there's another big one, Mav 21. 21,000 sats, no comment.
Thank you, Mav21. Thank you, guys. Guys, I think, you know what? You know what we need to pump the price? We need this to be the most zapped RHR episode of all time.
You think that's
not just saying that? I'm not just saying that because price is low. I'm saying, like, we really need to breathe some life back into this market.
But in gold terms, it needs to be the most zapped in Scudos.
In Scudos, yeah. Can we get it?
Should we add, you want us to add Tether Gold to Primal?
Yeah, I think that would be cool. I like the option to receive Scudos.
I don't hate the idea.
We got to hedge our bets.
I don't think it's I don't think it's a horrible idea. I mean, jokes aside, and there's a lot of I don't think the Primal team agrees with me on this, but I would be down for you to be able to deposit and withdraw US, so Tether dollars and Tether gold in the Primal wallet, but you could still, you can only zap sats. So you can receive and send sats, but you could then you can withdraw or deposit in the way you want to withdraw and deposit.
Well, guess what? You know what? You know, it can be a forcing function for this.
What?
We move some of our audience over to Rumble. We set up our Rumble wallet.
Yeah.
we get as many scooters.
They support Tether Gold. I don't think that's a horrible idea. Like if someone wants to withdraw their sats as gold IOUs, like that's their power to them.
Okay. All right. We got one more boost before we go on the list. Focus on family. This is from Bitter 21, 21,000 sats. Focus on family. Enjoy time with friends. Treasure good friendships in life and take care of yourself. Make sure you spend less than you earn. And if you're still stacking Bitcoin now, don't worry. Everything will be fine.
I do think it's great hilarious. Advice. Like the entire FIRE ecosystem, like they like write books and books and books. And like literally it's just save more money than you spend, you know, spend less than you earn. That's all it is.
Fixed income, retire early. What is it?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. It's make a bunch of money, put it into savings and, like, and then retire. Yeah. You put it what into, does like, FIRE stand for?
Money market funds.
What does FIRE stand for?
Drew, cattle bike, 21,069 sats. Go to your local meetup.
Sure. Financial independence, retire early.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I got half of it right. I'll take a 50%. I'll take a 50 points on that test right there.
And then the retire piece is like, you know, I mean, I guess it just depends on your definition of retirement, but
I don't think I'm ever going to retire.
Yeah. I mean, I think if your definition of retirement is that you're just not going to take shit from anybody, then that 100%, I 100% aligned with it. If it means like you're going to sit on the beach, then that's just, you're going to go straight brain rot.
Yeah.
It's like not a productive way to live your life. There's things to do.
All right. What do we got next up on the list?
Okay, here, this is, there's a couple Bitcoiners that I'm close with and we just like to hate on the FIRE movement together. So can I just
I'm here for it. I'm here. Do whatever you want to
since
do.
Since we're trying to have fun right now, can I just read this post that was trending in the FIRE Reddit?
Yes. Yeah. Wait, send the link and have Logan pull it up because I want to.
Well, can I just send you a photo, Logan?
Okay.
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 Here you go. Okay. My FIRE journey. Wife called me a quote unquote loser. 41-year-old male, 2 million liquid, 650K retirement, and I get 75K a year royalty from a business I sold. Recently, I retired. Wife is a school teacher, good for healthcare. I make 125K a year in income off my liquid assets. Since November began, it's cold and dark early, so a lot of what I do Monday through Friday when she's at work is I play Grand Theft Auto on THC edibles because nothing else to do where I live this time of year. Wife came home early today and I'm stoned in the middle of a conversation with my GTA online friends. She told me I'm becoming a loser, quote unquote, but this is me during the day when she works. I admit it's immature, but we don't have kids and I just want to chill after working a stressful job for 15 years. I make dinner, clean the house, paid for our nice house, and make 2x what she makes as a school teacher for my assets and royalty income. If I want to get high and play video games when she is working, what is the problem? We take nice trips across the world in the summer when she's off. She said, I'm too old for this, but there's not much else to do in the winter. I just want to chill, but I can't tell she doesn't like it. Early retirement does not fit well in this society.
I mean, your wife's mad at you because you're 41. you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're taking pot. Gummies, and you don't have any kids. she's working.
That's probably that's the icing on the fucking cake. And she's working, taking care of other people's kids.
If you retire, you need to retire your wife too, gentlemen. This is not very gentlemanly. This is an older millennial too. So this is like, hey, I love my older millennials out there. Our compatriots who are like 6 to 7 years older. They were in college when we were in grade school. Some of you lost your way. You watched too much girls back in that era. You know, you fell for that trick, that degenerate. You're 41. Your wife's working as a school teacher.
You're getting high and playing GTA.
She's surrounded by kids all day, being reminded of what she's missing out on. Then she comes home and you're stoned talking to some 17-year-old in Thailand about GTA 5. About when GTA 6 is coming out. There's no way to go through life.
Okay. Well,
I'm happy, bro. I saw that the other day. I laughed out loud. To your point, though, to Bitter 21's message in a zap, I just spent right before RHR, spent 45 minutes catching up with a friend. Haven't seen in a while, lives in Detroit. Was one of the first people who took my advice back in the early days and bought Bitcoin. He's very happy, very successful. And it was good catching up. For listening out there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, his wholesome zap is what made me think of that very non-wholesome fire post. But yeah, great advice. And we have Cognitronic Zap 21,000 Sats, longtime listener, first time on the live stream. Greetings from Sweden. Thank you, sir. Appreciate our global freaks out there.
Guggenhaus. Yeah. I think that's Swedish.
Wait, did someone send us is this actually a $25 super chat on YouTube? Do we have super chats enabled on YouTube?
I saw the pop-up on my interface here. I think that's the first time I've seen that.
I feel like I'm ideologically not aligned with YouTube super chats. But anyway, this guy paid $25 to Marty. Marty, feel free to zap me my cut.
I'll zap you 1250. Okay. Or just so no, you control the rabbit hole app, you just subtract 1250 from our split.
Okay. Deal. Sold the business I co-founded to private equity at 44, retired my wife. I play COD, smoke weed, made $1.9 million selling call options on IBIT last year. I'm in my underwear right now.
Do you have kids? That's the question. I'm not going to kid shame, but like if you don't have kids, I'm curious. You should. Yeah, I'll be that guy.
I'm not going to kid shame, but you should. He said, yes, he does have kids.
All right, good. You're fine then.
And you retired your wife.
Yeah, yeah. This guy didn't retire his wife.
And you're not posting on Reddit asking why she's calling you a loser.
If your wife's like...
You're good.
If your wife's like coming home and grading papers and talking about how annoying little Timmy from period 4 is every day, and you're sitting there playing COD, retired, and you haven't retired her yet. That's unacceptable. Highbox 05, thank you for the super chat. What you're doing is acceptable. Your wife is retired too. So.
you're good in our book. Yeah. But next time, zap us. Don't use the YouTube super chat.
He's one of those Bitcoin influencers with
also with make sure you own IBIT actual call. Real self-custody Bitcoin, and it's not just done all in IBIT.
His wife was a school teacher. See, like you're doing it right. Like you need to reach out to this guy on Reddit.
Look at this. Hey, what a flex, bro. She has a G-Wagon now. Are you a new freak? Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you.
I'm loving the vibes you're bringing. Highbox 05. All right, we got a list to go on. should we even get a list? Yeah, we should. Covering it over the last many months, Callie took to Noster earlier this week to alert everybody that BitChat almost has 1 million active Android users.
This is just Android.
Yeah. That's and every awesome. One of them has a Nostra pub key.
Have That's we talked really about awesome.
We talked about Nostra versus Farcaster last week, right? Or did we?
Well, what is the like the proverb or whatever? This is one of my favorite parts about Rabbit Hole Recap, where it's just like a very common saying and we just butcher the fuck out of it. But it's like, never interrupt your enemies while they're like drifting down the river or something. Well, bodies of your enemies.
You're there's one that's like, if you wait long enough, you'll see the bodies of your enemies float down the river.
Yeah, that's the Nostra strategy. The other one is,
don't interrupt your enemy when they're making mistakes.
But the second one is the Bitcoin strategy. I guess they both align, but I meant the one where you just, if Nostra's just, you know, it's the honey badger of comms and identity. And all these other ones are just slowly dying. And Farcaster was the latest casualty. And also they sold the protocol, which is just clearly not an open protocol. Like, you can't sell Nostra. There can't be like an acquisition and an exit on Nostra. You could sell an individual company like Primal. But not the actual right protocol.
What do we call it? Dino, decentralized name only. Yeah. Decentralization theater. Shitcoin fuckery. Anyways,
by the way, on the Cali topic, yeah, first of all, 1 million MAUs is like, it's just really impressive, particularly for a freedom project, for any kind of project, that's really impressive, but particularly for a freedom project, that's really impressive. He posted let me see if I can find this chart. He posted a chart that showed WhatsApp, that showed WhatsApp versus Signal versus Telegram. And it's just really humbling, right? Because like, to me, like, Signal is not perfect. It's definitely not perfect. But as far as accessible privacy, freedom focused projects, it's one of our most wild successes. Like, there's 100 million users. It's incredibly easy to use. I talk all the time about how my 90 plus year old grandmother like gets baby photos on Signal. Like, that's just, it's just a massive win across the board.
Perfect example of good UX and privacy tech.
Yeah, but then you compare it to WhatsApp and Telegram. It's getting its fucking ass kicked. Like, there's billions of users of WhatsApp.
Yeah.
WhatsApp is higher than that. I think Telegram, allegedly, there's no way for us to verify it, is like 1.5 billion. And then WhatsApp is like 3+ billion, 4 billion or something. And if they're if population numbers are fake, then maybe they literally have every single person is using WhatsApp.
Yeah,
nearly every single person.
Yeah.
So I just think it's important, you know, to the point of perspectives. Also, I think expectations, right? I think when you're trying to do the math of how many people will be using Bitcoin as freedom money when we're successful, it's going to be way lower than the people that aren't using it. Like, it's going to be an order of magnitude lower, and that's fine. It is what it is. You know, personal responsibility is the harder path, and less people will take it. But the key is to make it as accessible as possible, so when people realize the need, that they can easily take that path.
Yeah.
I wish I had that chart, but I just described it. So
it's a long-term game, whether it's Bitcoin, Nostra, BitChat obviously having early success, Signal. It's worth it. It works. As long as it works for you, that's all that's important.
Posted by Odell replying to Cali. Okay, here's the chart. Let's pull up the chart. I found it. Advanced search and Primal, it works. Gets the job done. Could it be better?
Search?
Sure. We'll make it better. I knew I had replied to him, so I did. I searched for when I replied to Cali. Look at this chart. Look how tiny that fucking Signal line is. Fucking brutal.
I gotta pull it up.
You can't see it?
I mean, I got a oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, WhatsApp's.
WhatsApp's the green one.
3 billion? Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, Facebook products, Facebook's the big boss. Like Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, like literally the only thing stopping user growth is birth rate. They have nearly full saturation.
Well, how many of them users are bots too? Because can you set them up? Set bots up there? I think you can.
Look, I mean, directionally, they have way more users than anyone else, and it's not even fucking close. Yeah. You have to remember that there's a bunch of different ways to measure Nostr users or Bitcoin users, but both of them are open networks. Like different people can have different analysis on it and say how many users there are. When you ask how many users of Facebook or how many users of X or how many users of Telegram, like you are literally just trusting the people that run it that want those user numbers to be as high as possible to tell you the truth on how many users there are. There's no way for you to take your own view on how many users exist on Facebook, for instance, and how many are real users, how much is, you know, AI slop. And obviously that's getting way worse recently. So.
Yeah.
Was that thing for the, like, Meta specifically, it's advantageous for them to be truthful, particularly if they're being priced in public markets on like revenue or profit per user. So they would actually want to downplay that, right?
I mean, to a degree. I mean, you all, like, at the end of the day, your user number is a TAM, right? It's your addressable market. True. So I think, you know, I think there's an incentive there not to be like,
we have potential monetizable. Yeah,
that's why equities trade at multiples, right? Because you're constantly pricing the future value. Their incentives are definitely aligned with lying more. I mean, look, this is why you don't see the bot. As an operator, you don't want the bots to degrade the experience of your real paying users. Right. So there's a balancing act there. But you don't want to completely eliminate the problem and maybe cut 20% of your user base or 30% of your user base, because that'll hurt your valuation. So the incentives are broken. And that's why, you know, open, interoperable, verifiable protocols are key.
Yeah. And I'm being reminded of the power of Bitcoin too, right now, as I move to the next topic, which is something we mentioned already, but Tether Gold. Why'd you put a Bloomberg article in there? I can't read it. I would love to be able to pay 100 sats to read this. I would pay 100 sats to read this Tether Gold article.
Because I didn't realize I could read it. Because I'm not a Bloomberg subscriber. You know, like sometimes like you hit a... Are you on a VPN?
No. No, I turn it off for when we record.
Bloomberg. Bloomberg usually doesn't have a paywall. Oh, wow. I got hit by one. Except...
Maybe there's one. Maybe they're $1.99 a month. Let me pay 100 sats per article.
Archive. What about this? Well, anyway, the crux of the article is that they have a shit ton of gold. Everyone was talking about it. Okay, yeah, here I have the archive link. Here's the archive link.
How much do they have? 14.5 billion or something like that?
I think they have. Let's see. I think they have 140 tons. Yeah, they have 140 tons of gold. That's fucking wild.
What's the price of that in dollars, Logan?
And they have it. They have it in a bunker in Switzerland.
Pretty based. Local for them.
It says approximately $24 billion. But also, this article is a day old, so it could be worth significantly more at this point.
No, we're dumping. We're dumping right now.
Well, it could be worth significantly less. It's pretty wild.
But here's how long I've been complaining about this. Here's a tweet. This link doesn't work anymore. But Logan, do you remember the TFTC dime bag? God, so many memes of this building TFTC. But for those who don't remember,
I remember the dime bag. Launch,
We created this tool at TFTC called the Dime Bag, where you could pay 10 cents worth of sats and it would randomly generate a, let me see if it's actually still up. I don't know if our BTC pay server still works. Yeah. Yeah, it's not working. But anyway, like this, like point being, is I was tweeting at Bloomberg in 2019, a picture of their paywall, like sign up. It's just let me pay 10 cents in Bitcoin. You do it. I don't want to click a link, put in a credit card. And here we are 7 years later, almost 7 years, 6.5 years later. No progress yet. We're still waiting for these Sats enables paywalls on mainstream media sites for when I seldomly try to read an article there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, paying with Lightning is just so much. I don't want to like sign up for a fucking subscription. I will say it's definitely getting messier because now you have all these AI models basically harvesting all of their information. And then you just ask the AI model, like, how much gold does Tether own? And what quotes did Paolo say? And then they just tell you, and you don't even hit Bloomberg. So like they have to figure out different business models. I will say, to Bloomberg's point, one of the reasons I like them as one of the larger news sources is because their business model historically has been selling the subscriptions to the Bloomberg terminals, and not actually like the news is just a, like a value add thing. It's not actually where they make the majority of their money. And that's arguably a sustainable business, because you have lock in on the Bloomberg terminals that everyone loves.
Very expensive. I think it's like 12 grand a month per terminal.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking insane. But anyway, they own 140 tons of gold worth $24 billion. They're stacking about 1 to 2 tons every week to this bunker.
1 to 2 tons?
Yeah. And I love how, like, they have a... They don't know how many tons they're going to... You know, 1 or 2, something like that. It's, like, not a specific amount. They're basically, that's more than reported by almost any single central bank, only Poland, which added 102 tons to its reserves, in terms of how much they added over the last year. They're basically they're an independent, you know, sovereign, non-sovereign central bank, which is fucking crazy. And to people that don't understand what their business model is their business model is people hold Tether, USDT, they keep them in treasuries, and then they just take all the interest for themselves. They don't give the interest back to the users. Then they take that interest and they buy Bitcoin and gold with it. It's like fucking,
which makes
just impressive execution,
which makes the regulatory market structure bill squabble going on right now incredibly hilarious, because Brian Armstrong and Jeremy Allaire, like, hey, we want to be able to share the yield with our customers. Yeah. And Tether, the longest running, most successful stablecoin company, has never even feigned an attempt to offer their yield. They're like, no, this is our yield. We're just going to buy Bitcoin and gold with it.
I mean, to be fair to them, when they first started, there was basically no yield, right?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
But I'm saying when the product originally launched, and it was growing, right? Like treasury yields were like 1% or something or less.
Zerp.
Yeah. So they didn't really have much yield to pass on to them. Then we went into a higher interest rate environment, and all of a sudden it became a massive fucking cash cow. And then I hate defending Allaire and Armstrong, but to their point, the only shot in hell they have at taking any market share from Tether is if they offer yield to people. So it like kind of makes sense that they would be fighting on that front. But you know, it's all a distraction.
Yeah.
Anyway, just, I think a lot of people, I don't know, there was some like spicy rage based takes on like Tether has given up on Bitcoin and has moved into gold, and they just clearly haven't. They own a shit ton of Bitcoin. They're continuously stacking Bitcoin. They're just also stacking gold.
The Shark Tank show just got released. You don't have that on the list.
Was it today? It's not out yet, is it?
Oh, it's not out yet.
You know I'm a judge on it, right?
I know. Previews for the show have been released.
Excuse me. Swore me to secrecy. I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Who won? Who won? Tell us who won right now. Come on.
I'm not going to make this a must-watch show
every week. We need to slip out insider information. I'm kidding.
We had multiple winners. There was an open source. There was an open source section and like nonprofit open source. And then there was a for-profit section. And so there's a winner on both sides of that. And me being a crazy person and being involved in both worlds, I was a judge. I was a judge on both sides.
Hell yeah. Before we go on to the next, I'm going to give Jeremy the benefit of the doubt and say maybe he lost a sat in transit and fees, 20,999 sat. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think that is close enough.
Morning, y'all. Another lucky coincidence here at UTC plus 9. So is that like 6 a.m.? Yeah.
UTC plus 9 is... California, I think, is UTC plus 8. So, that UTC minus 8 is California.
That's minus 8. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's somewhere in Europe.
Sounds like it. McCoy, 21,012 sats, palindrome zap. Kaji news for the win. I like Kaji. Kaji. Who knows? Speaking of Kaji, S and I, our good friends, Michael Goldstein. Speaking of catching up with friends, had the pleasure of catching up with him last night on a phone call. Satoshi Nakamoto Institute is bringing back the annual dinner. I went to the first ever Satoshi Nakamoto Institute annual dinner at the first ever BitBlock Boom in 2018. Cody Wilson.
I wasn't at that one. I think I missed that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this. Year after that.
I was talking to Michael last night about his plans for S&I. He's got the best plans, incredible plans.
The best plans.
And he's having a dinner in Austin, March 12th. I've already bought my ticket. I will be there. Tickets are limited, and all proceeds minus the cost of the dinner will go to supporting Michael and the team at S&I in making sure that they preserve the canon of Bitcoin, the cypherpunk writings that led to the combination of technologies that ultimately brought Bitcoin to the market, the early email lists, and of course, the S&I commentary from over a decade ago from Pierre, Michael, and Daniel Krawitz. And they're obviously going to expand the corpus of that canon as well. So I think it's one of the most important projects. And part of what we were discussing last night is like his plans to make sure that we have this digital archiving of Bitcoin. It makes it very hard to lose the important research papers, discussions over time. So one of my favorite institutions in the world.
I love Michael. I love S&I. OpenSats is a proud supporter, or was a proud supporter of S&I. We're not currently right now. It'll be a great event. And tickets are very limited. So I just wanted to highlight it for the Reddit eyes. I just hand up. We're retarded. Europe is basically UTC because it's based in London or Greenwich.
This is Australia.
No, he's in Korea. Jeremy's in Korea. 6 a.m. in Korea. And then we see Hawaii Satoshi zapped 21,212 sats, all in on Freedom Path. The secret to living is giving heart. Nice.
Give. Get out there and give. I'm going to give you an update on the Financial Freedom Report this week coming out of Nicaragua, where economic control sustains the Ortega Murillo regime. In an investigative series published by Confidential, reporters identify economic control as one of the four central pillars sustaining the dictatorship of Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo. The regime increasingly relies on restrictive controls over civil society's monetary flows to punish dissent. In 2023, the regime froze the bank accounts of institutions affiliated with the Catholic Church, which led a Nicaraguan seminary to cease operations. Since 2018, thousands of NGOs have been forced to close or had their assets seized for alleged financial violations in Nicaragua. Authoritarian financial control is a primary way to stifle civil society. for more stories like this and others, make sure you sign up for the Financial Freedom Report weekly newsletter at financialfreedomreport.org. And the burping. Sorry, I just had to go on mute to burp there. Another recurring theme on the show throughout 8 years, financial suppression is one of the most high leverage tools that governments, particularly despotic governments, will use to stifle dissent. It looks like it's happening in Nicaragua as we speak, and been happening for quite a while. Okay. Software updates. I feel like we haven't done software updates in a while. We only got one, but it's one that's very welcomed. Cove Wallet, Cove Android Beta is finally available in the Play Store. Go check it out. Yeah,
I think Praveen, who is the maintainer of Cove, is awesome. I think Cove is, fully open source, self-custody focus, specifically on-chain self-custody focus. Mobile wallet, historically it's been on iOS. He's been working on Android for a while. The Android beta is out now. Has been a massive success in terms of a project being funded by OpenSats. I think absolutely love to see it. It's a wallet that I've been recommending more and more now to people, and specifically it works really well with hardware wallets. So any hardware wallets that support QR codes, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Passports, Jade supports QR codes. They have a little camera on there. Anything that supports QR codes works really well with Cove. It's very focused. It's not trying to add Lightning. This is a way for you to interact with on-chain Bitcoin in a, I like to say, it's funny because both Praveen and Craig kind of get offended when I say this, but it's like kind of like Sparrow Wallet for mobile. And so I'm over the target when both sides of the equation are like, wait, we're trying to do something a little bit different here. But I love Sparrow on desktop. I really like Cove on mobile. So definitely check it out. Specifically, I personally really like using it with Cold Cards. I use Cold Cards on a day-to-day basis with my friend, with all my projects. My family relies on them. My businesses rely on them. You can get your own Cold Card at coldcard.com. Use code RHR for a discount. You're muted.
What I have in my hands is a Cold Card Q. Matt was mentioning the QR scanner. You can use this with Cove, but also Cove is NFC enabled too. And this has an NFC. This is NFC compatible. So if you don't want to scan the QR code, you can tap and sign a transaction with a Cold Card.
I don't do the NFC stuff, but it's a nice option.
Honestly, I like the scanner.
It feels tactile,
Yeah.
I see that I'm scanning something and I scan it.
Is our bundle up
supports
yet?
NFC. I don't know. I think Cove's great. I think Cold Card's awesome. But shout out Praveen.
I'm checking bundles.
And then also, freaks, unless you're a new freak, you're probably aware that 1031 is the only external investor of CoinKite, the makers of Cold Card. So it's just the two founders, NVK and his very quiet wizard co-founder, Peter. Yeah, in the background. It's them and us are the only people that own shares of CoinKite. Also, they are a sponsor of the show. So we have been working with them recently, and they want to give away Cold Cards. So we gave away our first Cold Card last week, and we'll be giving away another Cold Card specifically to X users, which, I know you freaks know how I feel about that aspect. But if you're on X, just pay attention for the giveaway going on.
You know what? Why should we leave the Nostr users out of this. I think there's a way. You know, I've been dying. You know, I got a little AI slave employee right now. We can have him vibe code up a random generator that combines the Twitter tweet with the Nostr note, and we can pick a random out of the two.
Okay, so if you reply to the X post, well, you'll see a giveaway post will go out on Nostr, and it'll go out on X, and you just follow the instructions. We'll figure it out after the show.
Obey. I'm kidding. Cool. Also, use a code RHR anywhere with a promo code, 5% off literally any product.
Anywhere.
In all seriousness, anywhere with a promo code. While we're doing it, drinksote.com.
Salty water. 15,
you get 15% off, 10% off? I forget what it is.
Use code RHR. Whatever, salty water. Travel for a board meeting yesterday, in the last 2 days. And when you're flying specifically, just keep chugging salt.
How high did the CO2 levels?
I forgot my monitor. It felt, I feel like I have a feeling for it now. It felt like we peaked around like 1700, 1800.
Okay. Guys, we're pumping right now. If you go to the hourly chart, we're up like 56 pips right now. It's fucking sick. you get to cherry pick any time frame you want. Put it on the hour chart, things are looking great right now. On to something more important, more impactful. You mentioned did earlier. You
see what Zero Hedge just tweeted out? Which comes first, Bitcoin 300K or global liquidity crash, which triggers a worldwide depression? Wild times.
I think the former, because as we all know, the governments will never allow it to happen. A liquidity crisis, they'll print the money. They'll never allow it to happen. On to the next update, which is coming from another organization near and dear to Matt's heart as a co-founder, OpenSats 2025 year in review. How was it? What did GG write about?
I just want to say Gigi was a little bit self-conscious that our year in review came out 27 days after the year ended. And I told him it was no rush.
No, I think you should be a little self-conscious. You know? I liked my year in review stuff the first week. So
it's 2 weeks. You know, we just want to get out good, ship a good review. And I don't think there's a rush. I think we're good. But anyway, it's been a great year for OpenSats. I'm incredibly proud of our team. It's kind of, I mean, the stats are wild. I think people just don't appreciate, even I'm involved on a day-to-day basis. I don't appreciate the scale of what we've accomplished so far. And we're just getting started. There's a lot more to do, but over $32 million worth of Bitcoin we have sent out to open source contributors. That's 34.6 billion sats. To 371 grant recipients in 40 plus countries. We sent out about $1 million a month. I mean, freaks, this shouldn't be like a surprise to you. I talk about a decent amount. And obviously we do that without taking a single cut of donations. So you can donate anonymously. You can zap us. We have people that do podcast splits. We do a podcast split for this. If you're streaming sats to the show, some go to OpenSats. You can donate dollars. We'll automatically convert into Bitcoin. We'll hold it in multi-sig. And every month, without taking a cut of donations, we send out about $1 million worth of Bitcoin. To like at any given time, like roughly like 200 grant recipients. To 2025 specifically, we added 131 new grants and we renewed 113. So I think we've done a pretty good job with it. You know, are we perfect? No. Are we one of the most transparent, most efficient, most effective charities in the world? I would say yes. And we'll make it even better. That's our plan.
I think you're selling yourself short. Don't be so humble. We all know you're the most humble man in Bitcoin.
You guys are crushing it. It's very important work. Thank you.
I don't pretend to be humble. I don't pretend to be humble. I just remind myself that it's important to stay humble.
So, Binary, I appreciate it. And just due to the nature of the show, week in, week out, we're working together at 1031. A lot of people think I'm involved. I mean, I am loosely involved in the sense that, like, if anybody wants a gram, like, go to OpenSats. Sometimes I help think about how to frame a proposal. If anybody wants to donate, I'm like, go to OpenSats. But Soap Miner, I saw he was tweeting. He was like, thank you, Marty and Matt, for OpenSats. Like, to be clear, I have no official association with OpenSats. I am a humble bystander who is very proud of my co-host and co-partner for doing what he does. You guys are crushing it.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking of crushing it, we crushed it in Podcasting 2.0 Boost last week. Rabbit Hole Recap, 393. Our future is bright. OB, 40,000 sats. Excited for the conversation that took place on sessions recently. Simon Dixon versus Jeff Booth. Excellent signal. I'm always confused why Simon does not get more exposure. I would like to see him on Citadel and TFTC. It was a welcome white pill. A masterclass from Jeff. We are winning. Marty, can you get Doomberg on TFTC? Getting scam calls. Somebody's trying to change my email, apparently. Not today. Not today, scammer. I was in contact with Simon. We were supposed to set something up for this month, but never were able to coordinate. Maybe I'll have him on, like, we'll work on getting him on. Doomberg, I haven't had him on in like 5 years, 6 years. It was like COVID.
Didn't
era.
Simon get wrecked on Bcash?
I have no idea.
I remember him from the Bcash days, and then he disappeared. I remember Bank to the Future. Like, re-showed up.
I mean, his defense, like Bank to the Future, I think they got in like the seed round of Coinbase, so I think he's doing fine.
Did all right.
Yeah. Thank you for the boost. 40,000 sats. BTC NIM Lemon, 22,500 sats. Enjoy this 25,000 sat boost. I use code RHR and save 10% BTC NIM. We have no idea where. I think he just sent in his taxes and used the code RHR. He got a 10% discount. Try it.
Love it.
Orange Horizon making up for the big kerfuffle last week. If you guys don't remember, he told us to tell all of you to go buy a sunscreen and then didn't leave a URL and didn't have one on his profile. So you were left wandering the internet to find the sunscreen. He sent us 21,212 sats palindrome boost. After last week's marketing critique on RHR number 392, we are back again so Marty can share the URL to shop our products. TakeMySats.com/orange-horizon. TakeMySats.com/orange-horizon. We'll also appreciate Marty Jones's thoughts on sun exposure. Conventional sun creams. The theory that consuming seed oils leads to sunburn and why you should use Orange Horizon natural sunblock instead. Shout out to Bullish Bitcoiner, who continues to grind and push out incredible Nostr link tools in web stores such as TakeMySats.com and the Bullish Marketplace held on the 21st of each month. Okay. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, as a pale-skinned Irishman, American citizen, Irish heritage, I get burnt. I'm a big, like, get my base burn. I go down the shore, I go to the beach, I spend 3 months of the year in heavy sun, peak sun season. Face burn, a little burnt for like a week. My wife demands that I put sun cream on. Horizon, you'll be happy to know, it's mineral-based, tallow-based. So when I do put it on to protect my pale skin, spend a lot of time in the sun, that's what I use. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the seed oils contribute to sunburn. I think big sunscreen is definitely not helping people. I haven't done deep analytical research on the literature as it pertains to the connection between sunscreens and skin cancer, but I would not be shocked if skin cancer and sunscreen are linked. You just put crazy chemicals on and they burn into your skin.
Like, so, mainstream corporate sunscreen is like literally just poison. You're just like putting poison all over your pores and all over your skin. But I think, you know, in the spirit of everyone being mad at you, I also think the good opinions, you have people on all of the sides get mad at you. You know, I also think extended sun exposure without any kind of protection is probably horrible for you.
Yeah. If you look past my my receding hairline, you'll see some sunspots in my head. My wife's very adamant about me wearing a hat at the beach, which I do. Matt knows our 10:31 weekly catch-up calls in the summer. I'm usually out on my morning walk, getting push-ups in, no shirt on the beach, but always lathered in mineral-based sunscreen. Orange Horizon, I'm sure you'll let me know that's going to give me cancer too. So I can't wait for that. What is going on here? How does this happen? I've never heard of this guy until yesterday.
Why would we?
I mean, CISA, like it's always in the news. In terms of during the Biden administration, like surveilling people, but Trump's acting cyber chief uploaded sensitive files into a public version of ChatGPT. The interim director of cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency triggered an internal cybersecurity warning with the uploads and a DHS level damage assessment. So the interim head of the country's cyber defense agency uploaded sensitive contracting documents into a public version of ChatGPT last summer, triggering multiple automated security warnings that are meant to stop the theft or unintentional disclosure of government material from federal networks. According to the Department of Homeland Security officials with knowledge of the incident, the apparent misstep from Madhu Gautamukkala was especially noteworthy because the acting director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency had requested special permission from CISA's Office of the Chief Information Officer to use the popular AI tool soon after arriving at the agency this May. Interim director shows up, is like, hey, I need access to ChatGPT to load up all these sensitive files. I mean, you're supposed to be securing infrastructure in cyberspace, and it seems like a pretty bad mess up. This is something that I wouldn't even mess up if I were, like, I would be a better interim director of this agency.
I think this is a theme that's just gonna, it's just gonna get worse and worse. And I mean, this is the scary part, right? And I talked about this. I had Marks on Dispatch. And we talked about this specifically, like the scary part of the data collection that is happening with people using these like big tech AI tools, right? These non-private hosted AI tools that are harvesting all of their information is that you don't even have to use it to be compromised by it. Like if your accountant or your doctor where your government officials are using it, then they're just uploading all of the shit. And then not only do they have the shit once you upload it, but then they also have the LLMs that make it very easy for them to sort through all that fucking data and then use it against people. So I think this probably gets worse before it gets better. And this is just the first major example of it. And then the last piece here, which is interesting, is I'm pretty sure the feds, they contract with a bunch of these guys, including ChatGPT and Grok and Anthropic, and they have like their own government version.
Yeah.
Which I think he's allowed to upload to.
The Department of War, I think, has one.
Yeah, I bet you like that is also probably horrible in security-wise. Like they just have like a contract that's like Sam Altman's like,
It's private.
We'll keep it safe. Yeah.
It's not.
It's just a trust me, bro. It's a trust me, bro relationship.
Yeah. Somebody's saying American Bitcoin with the Trump brothers and eight.
Don't read his posts.
52%. That's, yeah.
He also said, higher up, the 2025 price of Bitcoin is the all-time high for Bitcoin. It is truly over from here.
Okay.
So look, this is the cool part about Bitcoin. You can disagree with us. I am fine with that. And place your bets accordingly. And we'll see whose family ends up on top afterwards. That's the cool part. If we're wrong, I'm going to be poor as fuck.
We had fun though.
That'll be the answer.
I had fun. Yeah, well, I had fun. Well, we had a lot of fun, exactly. even if we lose.
That's the cool part. It's PvP.
What's place PvP? Your bets?
Oh, yeah. Player versus player.
Yeah, and I'm not taking weed edibles playing GTA. I forget the nomenclature of the gaming world.
PvE is player versus everyone, and PvP is player versus player.
Yeah. Last thing on the list. I got 20 minutes, so we can chat after this. TikTok has updated its privacy policy after Larry Ellison bought them. Oracle. It was Oracle, or was it Larry personally and his son? Is his son?
I think it was Larry personally. No, his son bought like CBS or some shit, right?
That's CBS.
Because it's separate. Yeah. It's not connected.
No.
But yeah, like this was the most obvious thing about the TikTok deal was the U.S. government forced the CCP to sell TikTok to a U.S. big tech insider, Larry Ellison, so that they could use it to surveil everyone and control thoughts and how it's used. And they're already seeing a bunch of censorship happen. And the first order of business, besides the censorship, is updating the privacy policy to, like, we're going to track everything you fucking do and ultimately use it against people. And just to be clear here, the CCP was definitely also doing this. They just don't care about privacy policies. So like, that's like the difference between the East and the West is like they have lawyer they in the West we have lawyers that like put it all in the privacy policy because they know no one's gonna freaking read it and still track and control everything you fucking do, and then the CCP they just do it, and if you disagree they send you to the gulag.
Yeah, one of the first things they censored was the mention of Epstein in DMs. Did you see that?
Yeah, even in DMs, it's not even public posts.
Yeah. Interesting. Transition into the banter section. Be aware on TikTok. Not a free platform. Sticking with Oracle, though. The Oracle collateralized debt securities, their CDS rates, basically the which prices in how risky their debt exposure is at its highest point since the Great Financial Crisis, and about 30% higher, 33% higher than it was during COVID. So bring this up, Oracle, I think it's part of the Starship program, I think building a ton of data centers for OpenAI specifically, has taken on a lot of debt to do this. And I don't know, this could be a signal that there is an AI bubble and there are stressors out there. Who's going to foot this bill? Obviously, we know the Trump administration views the expansion of the energy grid and implementation of AI data centers to win the large language model wars is an existential threat. So maybe there will be a big daddy government bailout of this, but I just want to flag this while we're talking about Larry Ellison, because not a great signal of financial strength from Oracle, which is a key player in this AI wave right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd all just be bailed out, but
yep.
I mean, that's the crazy, right? Like, we have like a big tech. The big tech guys have all joined the oligarchy in America. Like, it's all intertwined. And the beautiful thing is, if you have big tech spy and control on people, you don't need a warrant. It's an end around in the Constitution. So, most of these guys are just, I think they've come to the conclusion that they can take insane risk. They can take way additional risk on because they know they'll be bailed out.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, this is like, this is one of those weeks. You know, it's going to sound cheesy. I know you're going to be like, Marty, you're like, you're succumbing to the hype cycle of the day. But I downloaded
You set up a Claude bot. I did say it because I know exactly what's going to be thrown at me. Now you got to defend yourself by it's the 8 mile strategy. It's the last rap battle where Eminem comes up. He's like, "Yeah, I'm white. Yeah, I went to probably like I know what you're going to say." I set up a Claude bot. I haven't slept much this week because it's been very productive. The reason I bring it up is because like you look at charts like that, and you you realize the productivity gains of AI, like I have over the last year, very specifically this last 4 days. It's insane what Moltbot, previously Clawbot, can do once you set it up. And but it does beg the question because I'm using a lot of new open source models via the Maple proxy that I set up for my Moltbot. And it does make you wonder like how much capital misallocation are all these hyperscalers forcing on the market when a lot of these open source models are getting just as good and much cheaper than the frontier models. Like Kimi K25 launched this week and it seems like it's better than Opus 4.5 on a bunch of different metrics.
Beware.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do think...
Were you not impressed with what I showed you this week?
I mean, I was kind of impressed. I think they're making a calculation that this stuff is going to be ingrained in all aspects of society. And they don't want to be left behind. So it makes sense, right? Where a lot of the expense is going on, specifically on the foundational models, right? Like the question is, I think, is there like going to be a real moat there? Probably not. Like the moat is probably closer to where you interact directly with the user, right? So, and then also data access. I think data access is important. So what's interesting about Claudebot, right? So Claudebot is an open source piece of software that you run and then you like connect it to a bunch of, it's an agent, right? So you're like connecting it to a bunch of, you're connecting it to whatever LLMs you want to use it for. And technically they can be self-hosted LLMs, but if you want, you know, the latest and greatest, you're not self-hosting it. It'd be way too expensive. So you're like pinging an outside server, but then you're also connecting it to accounts, right? And then, so then how are you also, so there's two pieces, like how are you interacting with it and what data is it interacting with? And so how are you interacting with it? I think the manufacturers of the devices that we're using have an advantage there remote wise, right? So like iPhone, Macs, right? Everyone, like a bunch of people are going out and buying Mac minis to run Claudebot. Like you can imagine, even if something is slightly inferior and it's already running natively on a Mac, most people are going to use that. And then you have, where is the data and what data? So then you're giving access to the data to actually make informed decisions and do things, you know, whatever, you know, in the simplest form, like make a deck on company metrics or something. And that's where things like, that's where like, and so if you mix both those together, Google has such a massive fucking advantage because they have all the data. G Suite dominates in business. Right. So they have all your docs. You don't have to give them like authentication tokens and stuff. They have all your docs, all your emails, your calendar, all that shit already. And then they also obviously have Android. Their Gemini, their AI shit is powering Samsung, which is the largest manufacturer of phones. And then the second largest manufacturer is iPhone, and they're powering iPhone as well. And then so like, okay, so then to your original question, why are they spending so much on foundational models? Can you imagine? So Google has that lead in those two moat levels. And then what, they're going to use some model that they don't have full control over? Like, it makes sense. They would spend a shit ton of money on Gemini. So like, but in that situation, Gemini is almost like the lost leader. It's not the moat. It might not even be the thing that makes them the money. It's the data harvesting that will probably make them the money. But they need it as a part of the package, right?
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. It is funny though how competitive it is. Like Kimi K2 5 coming out this week. It's like, holy shit. I haven't tested it yet because I'm not piping into a API service that feeds data back to servers hosted in China.
Yeah.
Mark and Anthony, I know you're working on it, but Kimi K25 and Maple would be awesome. It's fun.
But that dynamic is also interesting, right? Because the CCP models know they have to be open source. No one's going to trust a CCP model that's not open source. I mean, you shouldn't trust a proprietary American model either, but people do. They don't really care about it. But we do have this advantage on the open source side in this particular dynamic that if the CCP wants people to use their models, which have CCP tints to them, right? Like if you ask a CCP model, like, what's the best government in the world?
It's Claude. No, No, that's how you know it's like Chinese. It's because like you ask like, hello, who made you? Like Claude. It's like, oh yeah, you just stole all their data.
You trained against the competitors. But also like you ask them like what happened at Tiananmen Square or whatever, and they'll be like, oh, like nothing happened. So they have their censorship hooks at the model level, and then they have to offer it open source because then otherwise no one else would use it. So it is an interesting dynamic at play.
Yeah. I see Mark's in the chat from Maple. They have it on strong intel that multiple people in the U.S. government are using Maple for current legislative work. You love to see it, you know. Shouldn't be using ChatGPT.
You say you love to see it, but then Mark's next comment says, but we can't see it. Because by design, they can't see what's happening.
I can't see it. It's true. How is Kimi 2.5 a cloud model, but still open source? I mean, the makers of Kimi, they host it. If you want to use their API, you can pipe in, but it's also open source. So
anyone can host it.
Yeah, you're just waiting for people to set up the infrastructure to host it and test it.
Yeah, there's independent providers that are hosting open source models for other people, because if you want to host Kimi K2 yourself, even though it's open source, like if you want to self-host it, it costs you, I don't know, about like $30,000 or $40,000 or something in equipment. Like you have to get like a $10,000, like two $10,000 Mac studios. I think I saw someone who was like, I'm running Kimi on this. I see Bitcoin Revolution in the chats asking about my hat. My hat is from a ride or die freak, Kiwi. He has a new service called BitcoinButlers.com that he's working on that is trying to make it easier to onboard people independently into self-custody, which I think is a very
noble endeavor.
Yeah, it's a noble mission. And I feel like the story of the last 2 years is that the plot has been lost a little bit. We need as many self-custody Bitcoins as possible. To the chart that I showed you earlier of Signal versus Telegram and WhatsApp, the overwhelming majority of users are not going to use Bitcoin in a freedom-oriented way. But we do need that absolute number to go up. We need an intolerant minority that is holding real Bitcoin, using real Bitcoin, holding it with open source tools in a sovereign way is absolutely key. And Kiwi's working on that with Bitcoin Butlers. And I just, the hat's cool too.
It is a sick hat. This has been a sick rip, you know. I'm having fun. I hope you guys are too. If we look at the hour chart, we're up 70 bips right now. We're pumping up almost $600 in the last hour. Things are looking great. Wow.
Basically rich again.
Yeah.
I see Mark's in the chat just real quick. With Maple, they have Kimi K2 support. They just don't have 2.5 yet, but that should be up and running soon. You can go to trymaple.ai.
And I think you can use the code RHR. You can use the code RHR there.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, just badger them until it works, because it should work.
Yeah.
But I use Maple all the time. Maple's fantastic. You can think Signal. So like Signal level privacy with in a typical chat AI environment. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I bought $500 worth of credits, hooked it up to my Claude bot, and I got a bunch of sub agents running the different models that Maple offers right now.
That's pretty awesome.
In a trusted execution environment. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, but it's basically like a secure element in the cloud.
Yeah.
So neither them nor the servers can see what you're searching for and what you're using it for.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
As it should be.
I got to run. I got a call in 5 minutes and got to hit the head before I take that. But this has been an honor. It's been a pleasure. Guys, this is a long journey. We've been here for 8 years. We're going to be here for 8 more years, probably.
Oof.
We'll be at 115K in 8 years. We'll be talking about, hey, just
stick with us, guys. It's going to work out. I promise. Okay.
If that bear in the YouTube chat is correct and Bitcoin hits zero, there will still be RHR that week.
Yes.
We promise you that.
If Bitcoin goes to zero, we will
go down the ship alongside you.
We are going to own up to it. And we're going to be probably hammered that week if it ever comes. Don't think it's coming, but
my strategy if that happens is me and my family are going to build a small cabin on federal land and squat in the forest.
I like that. Maybe we'll join you.
There you go.
You're welcome for the mining operations that I'm involved with in Tennessee turning off this week. I know it's been a rough week there.
Insane. Yeah. It's a good example, by the way, of NESS, which has a National Electric Service, which has a de facto monopoly, basically government-run operation. It's just fucking horrible. Just so inefficiently run.
We got PECO here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Electric.
You need free markets would fix that.
It would. All right. This was fun. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds like a plan. Love you all. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks. Tickie.